In our first reading, we heard that they took Jeremiah and threw him into a cistern or well without any water in it, only mud, and Jeremiah sank into it. Well, I don't know about you, but I can very much relate to poor Jeremiah sinking into the slime. This event happened during the siege of Jerusalem by the Babylonians around the year 558 BC, and was because of Jeremiah's opposition to King Zedekiah's powerful advisors, who sought to gain complete independence for Judah by playing Egypt off against Babylon. However, with prophetic insight, Jeremiah saw that this would lead to the destruction of Judah at the hands of the Babylonians, which is in fact what did happen. He urged the king to preserve the nation by coming to terms with the Babylonian king and paying him tribute. It was this unpopular stance that led to his being thrown into the cistern. Jeremiah's fate provides a prophetic precedent and a context for Jesus' words in today's gospel. However, while Jeremiah urged a peace policy towards the Babylonians, Jesus provocatively states that he hasn't come to bring peace. This, of course, conflicts with the announcement of the heavenly host to the shepherds on the night of his birth. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to those who enjoy God's favor. However, we should note that even in that same infancy narrative in Luke's gospel, the old man Simeon, in the second part of his oracle, had already foretold that, quote, "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the thoughts of many hearts would be revealed." This gives us a clue to resolve the apparent contradiction between peace and fire. The peace that Jesus brings is not a glib or a shallow thing. Jesus' message only becomes effective in the context of a true conversion of heart. It doesn't leave the depths of the human heart untouched. Probing beneath a superficial pleasantness and acceptance, it brings forth deep-seated prejudices, narrownesses, and selfishnesses. They all come to the surface, where such negative qualities can be confronted and indeed healed. But many resist challenge and healing at this level. They react negatively, violently even, as we saw earlier in this gospel, when after his preaching to the people in the synagogue of Nazareth, they wanted to kill him. What should be a message of peace ends up as a violent confrontation. This pattern is the background to Jesus' words in today's gospel. The increasing hostility to his message that he is encountering will come to a climax as he approaches Jerusalem, the city of his destiny. This leads him to see himself as a person who provokes prophetic hostility rather than giving peace. It almost seems as if the fire that he wants to cast on the earth is also a propelling force within him. It seems best to understand the fire that Jesus says he has come to bring to the earth as the gift of the Holy Spirit. John the Baptist had prophesied that whereas he baptized with water, the coming one would baptize with the Holy Spirit and fire. And indeed, at Pentecost, the gathered disciples will receive the Spirit in the visible form as of tongues of fire. But the Spirit cannot be given until Jesus has faced and gone through the destiny that awaits him in Jerusalem. This painful destiny Jesus describes as a baptism that must be accomplished. He isn't using the word baptism with reference to our Christian sacrament. The Greek baptizo refers to being dipped in water. Jesus is speaking of baptism according to biblical usage, where being immersed in water and out of control is a standard image for being overwhelmed by trouble and hostility. Baptism, then, refers to the suffering and death that awaits him in Jerusalem. We have, then, a glimpse of the anguish Jesus is experiencing at this point of his mission. On the one hand, his passionate desire to communicate to people a sense of the divine love that drives his mission, and which is the essence of the experience of the Spirit. On the other hand, this communication of the Spirit can't take place until he is confronted and overcome through death and resurrection the hostility to divine love that lurks in our human hearts. He's caught in a terrible tension between the reality of God's love and the reality of the world to which, in his own person, that divine love reaches out. This tension affects also the hearts of those to whom his summons is directed, reaching deeply into family relationships, and hence the startling message in the concluding words of our gospel. Families are, of course, the best nurturing grounds for us, but families can often keep people mired in prejudices and lead them to unfreedoms that are resistant to the gospel and to the following of Jesus. To know Christ's peace, we have to challenge ourselves and confront our prejudices and our unfreedoms. In other words, we must repent and believe in the good news. Please join me.